Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Thanks for being with us on the program today. My guest is Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. We'd love you to be a part of the program today. Send us your emails, the address ask@wbaa.org. Feel free also to tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Well, Mr. Mayor, our listeners may remember that last month we were not able to do the show with you live because you were getting one last treatment for your arm injury. I wanted to check and make sure you're feeling okay for today's show. And onward as well?
Feeling great, Stan, feeling great. I think I'm going to need a few strokes on the golf course this year if I ever have time to get out and play. But other than that, couldn't feel better, and it's great to be back in the saddle. You can't keep a young man down long.
Well, good to hear. Let's move on to things for the rest of the half hour here. Your city has announced an interesting program. It's similar to one that was started in Marion, and it offers grants to college graduates hoping to entice them to buy or rent homes in your community. Your city doesn't have a ton of extra money to throw around. You're always playing it pretty close to the vest on the budget. So where's that cash coming from? I know it's only 20 grand, but still, I mean, carving out 20 grand had to come from somewhere.
Sure. So this is where our capital improvement plan and strategic financial planning that our administration has done from day one comes in so handy, because we're able to separate the needs from the wants and then program those needs over a period of time so that we can keep our budget in check, always keeping an eye on cash reserves. Obviously, the great majority of our budget, as in comparison to other rural communities across the state for that matter, goes towards salaries and health insurance for our employees. But you and I have talked about one of the greatest challenges that a community like Frankfort faces is getting young professionals who have associates, baccalaureate, master's degrees to look at coming back and planting roots here. And that also goes hand in hand with the workforce shortage that we have. Businesses who come here look at that unemployment rate, although I think with entitlements that's a bit artificial and I don't necessarily take that to heart. But the strength of our workforce, this also plays into that as well. So we decided that the Grants for Grads program would be a very strategic way to allocate a portion of our resources. So it's coming from our Board of Works budget. We wanted to start with $20,000 this year to pilot the program to see where it goes. And the goal of this program is that young people with that associate's or baccalaureate or master's degree, and we can tailor fit this around Frankfort. This idea actually came out of two Clinton County leadership summits ago that I have hosted since coming into office. We learned about this program in Marion County. And when you look at the type of people this attracts to the community, although it's at a cost, it helps offset the closing costs or down payment on a new home. It can even help offset the cost of rent up to $5,000 over a period of time. The taxable income that you're getting these individuals to pay, who probably wouldn't be living in your community otherwise, and property taxes from bringing these people in and getting them to plant roots here in the hopes of them buying a home here and raising their family here, I believe, and we'll track the data, I believe the program will pay for itself.
Check my math here, if you would. You've appropriated $20,000 for this. The grants can be $5,000 in total, but those are paid out over the course of 5 years, so up to $5,000 increments. Does that mean that you're hoping to offer up to 20 grants a year?
Well, it all depends. It all depends on the applicant. So, you know, our program, we're tailor fitting it right now, so we can massage those numbers to make them fit Frankfort. We want to get the most bang for our buck, and we're in the stages right now of tailor fitting that program. We want to help as many people as we possibly can, but I can tell you, just since this came up in budget discussions last year, we haven't even, obviously, we haven't marketed the program much. We've talked about it in public meetings, and I've probably received half dozen to a dozen emails from young people in the community saying, Chris, when's this program going to be ready? So that's why, you know, I'm working closely with Councilman Steve Beardsley and a couple of other councilmen to get this up and off the ground. And I think this is a program, you know, once we get this to go, I think it's something that other rural communities will look at. And again, we're not wanting to reinvent the wheel here. Marion County's done it very well. They have a nice website that tracks the amount of homes that are being purchased, the data points on those homes, the taxable income that's coming back to the community, and the workforce enhancements that it's bringing back to the community. And let's be honest, rural communities, we're going to have to get creative and be progressive if we want to attract young professionals back and build the middle class. And that's what this program is geared towards.
When this gets rolled out, what happens if you wind up with more than 20 applicants? How do you decide who gets the money?
So obviously there will be many factors, I am sure. One of the main things is going to be administering this program, because the bandwidth for a smaller community, you know, when we're out tackling the heroin problem, fixing up our city parks, you know, revitalizing our downtown, working on utility issues, you know, we only have a staff of so many people, and we don't want to inflate that staff to be over proportionate. So we're actually speaking to the folks in Marion County about administering this program for us, which would be incredibly helpful. They have done this before, and we look at it no differently than this. We have a community foundation. We know that the money given here locally comes back to us locally, but it's administered out of Howard County. We would view this program as being no different. So we could sit down with those individuals and set out a set of criteria of individuals we'd look for, and that would keep political individuals out of that. I wouldn't want the city, you know, viewing certain people. You know, you and I have had this conversation before, and it's been my intent from day one to root out nepotism and conflict of interest. So I think having a third party objective vetting agency that would help us vet these records, and there would also be an application fee. So these individuals that applied for the program would actually have to put some skin in the game, which I think is important. A modest amount, it could be $250, for example. But it's my hope that we can now, once we pilot this program for Frankfort, we can go to Clinton County government, we can go to the community schools of Frankfort, we can go to our industries. You know, maybe our industries would say, okay, hey, we have a young employee, an engineer that's living 45 minutes away. Frankfort's got this program. If you apply for this program, we'll cover your $250 application fee. And then we get the schools to jump on board, and they chip in $20,000 to get more teachers living in our community. And I think it could just snowball. So it's going to be a program for everyone to keep their eye on and definitely stay in tune as we move forward.
That's one of those things I wanted to ask you about, was how do you fund this going forward? Because you could ask local businesses or philanthropic groups to contribute. You mentioned the program trying to pay for itself. I wondered, might you take the property taxes, track the property taxes that come back from this program, and take whatever amount that is when it comes back to you from the Department of Local Government Finance at the state level, and say, all right, we're going to put this money back in the pot, and that helps to expand it there. Is that something you've considered?
Oh, sure. And that's exactly what I was trying to get at. I think what we'll find is between property taxes paid and local income taxes paid from people that might not look at Frankfort as being a viable option to live, I have a feeling the program's going to pay for itself. And personally, I hope to see this expand, because one of the biggest issues that we face is attracting an able-bodied workforce and building a middle class, so that high-tech companies, small businesses know that if they come to Frankfort, they have a workforce to pull from. And, you know, you and I being young people, you come out of college, that down payment or closing costs on a new home, whether it be $3,500, $4,000, that's a big deal. That's a head turner for a young person. And this is something that we can start marketing to our high school students as they go through high school, and even our county schools, to get more young individuals who are professionally certified living in this community, who are also going to be the future leaders of this community.
I'm glad you mentioned the closing costs and the down payment on a house, because, you know, having bought a couple of houses in my life, it's really hard to get out of a bank with the closing costs and the down payment for less than, say, $10,000. Even if you're talking about paying just a couple of percent of the principal of your mortgage in a down payment. So if you're offering up to $1,000 for this, I have to say that seems like it's not going to make much of a dent. Do you need to up that amount to get people really interested in this?
Okay, so Marion County's program offers up to $5,000 for a homeowner, and so that would be owner-occupied. So I'm sorry if I wasn't clear there. So the loan amount can be up to a maximum of $5,000, and then as that individual lives in that home for a period of time, that loan amount is forgiven.
Well, right, but up front, they're only going to get $5,000 increments. So up front, you get $1,000 to start, and if that's...
No, you're understanding it wrong.
Okay.
The loan amount up front would be $5,000, and then over a period of time, that loan amount is forgiven.
We want to be protected,
so we don't want someone taking that $5,000 and leaving after the first year. If that would occur, then a lien would be put back against the property for the amount that the city of Frankfort fronted for that individual to get in that home.
Okay, thank you for correcting me on that. I appreciate that.
Sure.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're talking to Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes on today's show. Send us your emailed questions. ask@wbaa.org is the address. You can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. On to other things. The same company that redesigned Frankfort High School is now planning to redesign the city's police station. That's a renovation you and I have been talking about for a while now. Other than having a possible familiarity with that firm, what led you to choose them as the one to do what you have talked about as a fairly big renovation, a transformational renovation on the city's police station?
Well, I think what we found is through the first process we went through, we found that renovating our existing police station really wouldn't be the most responsible thing to do with the taxpayers' money or the most cost-efficient thing to do, because at the end of the day, it was going to take over $7 million to renovate our existing police station, which was built to be a post office. And at the end of all of that, we would have had a renovated building, but you're still left with an old building. Now, I could definitely stomach that when it came to Old Stoney. This is a building, obviously, it's incredibly iconic. It's incredibly rooted in Frankfort's history, and we couldn't let this building go. It's our plan as we move through this process. Now we understand that from a cost efficiency standpoint, we're more than likely going to be looking at building a new police station. As a part of this new process, as an exit strategy, we want to find a partner in the community, or maybe it's a host of partners that would come in and perhaps take over this former post office and turn it into a youth space, turn it into a gathering space for meetings. The sky's the limit. We have so many needs in the community, and we have so many 501c3s and organizations, a wonderful public library. Maybe we could find a good partner, because this building is directly off our downtown, so it's important that we keep it strong. I would hate to see it torn down and lose that piece of Frankfort's history, but from a cost efficiency standpoint, I just can't justify dumping over $7 million to renovate that into what we would consider a new police station. So what we're going to do with this firm is, again, KJG Engineering and Architecture. Kelly Good, the owner of this firm, is from Frankfort, which we love that. He's a local homegrown boy, but they are partnering with a company called Zimmerman. And Zimmerman, if people want to do some research on this firm, they have built state-of-the-art police stations not only in Indiana but across the Midwest. They're considered one of the foremost leaders in this field, not only in the Midwest but in the nation. So in our vetting process, we took that heavily into account. We interviewed several firms. We also took road trips up to Michigan City, even up to Wisconsin, same-day trips to look at work done by each of the firms that were competing for the process. So we had a very thorough vetting process. We had council members involved. We had police officers involved, Board of Works members involved. And so we felt as though we're making an informed decision. And now we have four sites that we're looking at, two on the east side of the community, two on the west side of the community. KJG and Zimmerman will come in. They will do site assessments on all of these sites, speak with every single one of our police officers, do a space needs analysis, figure out how big of a footprint we truly need out of a new police station, and then back into it from there. And so a couple things as mayor that I'm going to push for is, number one, I think personally this new police station needs to go on the west side of our community. I think the west side of our community, at times, they feel like the forgotten men and women of this community. That's why I pushed projects like Project Home Run, cleaning up the roundhouse site. I believe a state-of-the-art police station going on the southwest or northwest side of the city would help breathe some life and bring some community pride back into these neighborhoods. And I would like to see a police station be built that wouldn't only be for our police officers, but would have a community meeting space that perhaps on the grounds would have a state-of-the-art playground set, a sledding hill, a basketball court, or soccer field. You know, what better place for our youth to come and interact than around our police officers, building positive relationships early on in their lives. So the community-minded policing model is something we follow from a policy standpoint. I think it's something we need to follow from a building standpoint as well.
We've got about 10 minutes left with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes on today's Ask the Mayor program here on WBAA. Email your questions in to ask@WBAA.org. Tweet them also at WBAA News on Twitter. We've talked a lot on this program with Mayor Barton of Crawfordsville about his city's problems with stopped trains, blocking traffic, and his attempts to try to get the railroad companies to understand that this is a problem. I have seen recent stories in Indianapolis media that Frankfort citizens have, it seems like, had enough of it happening in your community as well. Can you describe your dealings with CSX and Norfolk Southern, whose rail lines go through your community? Have they been responsive to you? Do they believe this is a problem? Are they listening?
Well, whether they believe it's a problem or not, it's a major problem, and it's a dangerous problem, and it's about time that someone shed some light on this major issue. And I'll just be plain out blunt. This is about money. It comes down to bottom line, and it comes down to those who have the abilities to hire special interest groups, hire lobbyists who can be at the State House each and every single day. Communities like Crawfordsville or Frankfort, you know, Todd and I, you know, we're working every day to keep our heads above water here in the city. Sure, we visit the State House, but we don't have the funds to hire big-time lobbyists to advocate on our behalf. These corporations do. We're literally talking about billion-dollar companies, and the problem is that the way the state statute is written right now, local municipalities and counties, we have a piece of string to fight a giant. And so, you know, to be honest with you, we feel absolutely helpless at this point in time. And when I have heroin dealers and methamphetamine dealers and people that are ODing every single day, you know, on the streets of my city, it's really hard for me to tell my officers to go chasing around train engineers and yard conductors when we don't have even a solid piece of state statute to back us up and not deal with these other major, major issues that are going on. And the relationship, I learned what this relationship was going to be like year one when I dealt with a rail crossing on State Road 28 West that was so badly torn up that vehicles were being damaged, semi-truck traffic, those vehicles were being damaged. It was a major problem. We couldn't get the rail company to take care of their own piece of infrastructure. NDOT couldn't get them to take care of their own piece of infrastructure. And it came down to the City of Frankfort taxpayers and the Indiana Department of Transportation taxpayers, which is all of us, flipping the bill close to $75,000 to replace a rail crossing that should have been the responsibility of that rail company. But you know what? Our citizens, they didn't complain. They didn't vote me out of office because it was one of the biggest complaints that we got. So if that's just a little snippet of the snapshot of a relationship, I don't know if I'd call it a relationship. And here's the other thing that kind of upsets me. You know, these individuals, they want to talk about bottom line, and they want to talk about if more local regulations are put into place that it could hurt their profit margins. Who do these individuals think are bringing these big tax incentives and abatements and TIF deals to the table to bring large companies like ConAgra Foods or Frito-Lay to communities across the state so that they can then build their customer base? Cities like Frankfort are. Cities like Crawfordsville are. So I think it's about time that some professional responsibility is taken. They recognize there is a major, major problem. And I hope that the Indiana Supreme Court, you know, their opening argument started today. What they decide will set a precedent. We're at a fork in the road, but that it's not going to stop there. This also must be backed up by our state legislators looking at this problem and not giving us a string to battle a giant, but actually giving us a concrete set of laws that if we need to hold these individuals accountable, we have the ability to do that. Right now, we simply do not.
So you've got a very business-friendly, Republican-dominated legislature that you're saying has kind of dropped the ball on giving local municipalities the ability to fight the likes of CSX and Norfolk Southern, these big companies. So a two-part question here. One, you said, you know, you're not down at the statehouse every day, but is this something that in your last year in office, early in 2019, when they're writing a budget, are you going to go down there more frequently and talk about something like this? And two, do you think this represents a larger sort of failure within the Indiana government? We've seen, for instance, corporate income taxes come nowhere near budget projections, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of corporate givebacks in this last budget. Do you think there needs to be a general shift in mindset to how the state treats companies?
Well, number one, I want to be clear. I never said that the Republican Party has dropped the ball. Those were your words, not mine.
They are, but you can't argue, you can't go against the fact that we've had, like I said, corporate tax givebacks by the hundreds of millions by the party that's run the Indiana legislature for the majority of the last decade. And I think, you know, you have to say one party is more business friendly than the other one over the long period.
Well, I can tell you this, you know, and I'm, you know, I've signed a non-disclosure agreement, but I'm working with an existing industry right now that it's coming down between North Carolina and Indiana, and we're talking about a multi-million-dollar investment that's going to bring dozens of new jobs to this community. And their exact words were to me, "We are so thankful for Indiana's business-friendly manufacturing mindset. It's probably going to help you guys win the project over North Carolina." So I do want to make that statement. And I don't know if it's so much as dropping the ball as, you know, we have a host of problems that we're facing as a state right now. You look, you know, this last legislative session, last two, we focused on drugs. We focused on the opioid crisis. We focused on transportation dollars. You know, the local tracks program has come out, which provides communities the opportunity to get an 80% to our 20% match to build overpasses in the community. I think this is just something that the legislature needs to understand is going on, and I think this just simply needs to be one of the next big-ticket items, and I think it does need to be recognized that these big companies have millions of dollars to dump into lobbying firms and special interest groups, and what happens at the end of the day, the forgotten men and women who, if my dad has a heart attack and he's on the south side of this city and needs to get to a hospital on the north side of the city, there's a chance that his life could literally be put in jeopardy because we do not have a set of laws right now to hold these people accountable. And I'm seeing the hubris that's going on at the Indiana Supreme Court, you know, fighting this set of, I think it's a couple dozen fines that were given to this company in northern Indiana. I mean, come on. That, you know, that's the prick of a needle in terms of bottom line to these individuals. So I look at it as hubris. So the only thing I'm asking for is listen, we want a positive professional relationship, and we all need to own up a little bit, and I believe that some stiffness and some teeth needs to be put into the Indiana state law in order to give local municipalities the ability to hold these mega billion-dollar corporations accountable, and that's what it comes down to in my mind.
Couple other things in just our last few minutes here. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the elections from last week, and you have talked a number of times in this program and over the last year or so about trying to root out what you've called the old boy network in Frankfort. That has been a Republican-controlled county forever. Last week's primary election ballot, nothing but Republicans running for countywide offices as well as for county council and county commissioner seats. That there's nothing wrong with that on its face. But I'm wondering, do you think that sort of one-sidedness is contributing to the ingrained problems you're running into? Because Democrats, for whatever reason, are apathetic, uninterested in running for elections in Clinton County, which they could win. And you've got one mindset that you, I know, have had some problems with your own city council and elsewhere. Is there what's the solution there? Is this election an indicator that there's an issue here?
competition's always a great thing. And the funny part about it is the chairman of the Democratic Party in Clinton County, Mark Newhart, and the Republican of the and the Republican Party chairman here in Clinton County are both dear friends of mine. So I love competition. In my own personal races, I've not only faced Republicans, but I have been challenged by Democratic opponents and even Libertarian opponents, which we've never had Libertarian candidates in Frankfort. So in my election cycles, we have had that competition, and we just simply rose above the competition and came out victorious. Yeah, I'd like to see more competition in these elections because I think it ultimately leads to a better process. I've told you this before, and I stand by these words, Stan. On the local level, on the state level, it may be different. On the local level, people look at the person. People look at, you know, your grit, your tenacity, your family background, your values. You know, have you grown up here? What's your vision for the community? I think they're looking at that much more than the letter beside someone's name. And in terms of nepotism, it's going to just be our citizens continuing to hold these people accountable. You know, we've got second, third, fourth generation families that just continue, not under my administration, but before I came in, you know, they're given the edge over other citizens who want to apply for municipal and county jobs. And I'll tell you, it's just plain wrong. I've dealt with it over the past 6 years. I've lost many friends over it. But as long as I'm mayor, the best person's going to get the job. It's not about who you know or who you're related to. It's about who can best serve the people of this city. And that's the way we look at things.
When Mitch Daniels was doing his commencement address for the Purdue class of 2018 earlier this month, he urged them not to fall into what he called the tribalism that's plaguing the country. Is there anything that you can do there in your last year and a half in office that might make Clinton County and Frankfort more immune to that sort of tribalism that's causing so many problems locally and especially in Washington?
I hope that we as people can just understand just because we're on separate sides of an issue doesn't mean that you're a bad person or you have flawed character. It's just a differing of opinion. Everyone is entitled to their opinion, and I think if I want to lead in any manner, it would be showing mutual respect to even those that hold very deep-rooted antagonist opinions to my own. Because in today's day and age, it's not only are you on the other side of the fence, it's you're a bad person because you're on the other side of the fence. Breaks my heart to see that. And as I meet with the Frankfort Future Leaders Advisory Council and young people across this community, I'm trying to get that point across. And that's a legacy, a very small legacy that I hope I can leave behind.
All right. Well, Mr. Mayor, that I'm afraid is the time we have for today's program. But thanks, as always. Good to know that you're on the mend, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again. I can't believe it's already going to be June by the next time we talk again. But thanks, as always. We really appreciate it.
Stan, yeah, and please come downtown Frankfort. We have several exciting revitalization projects going on. Ellis Jewelers just opened up. We have a wonderful boutique ice cream shop. A lot of cool things happening, so you're always welcome here in Hot Dog Land.
I've got a number of reporters who are very excited for the Hot Dog Festival this year, so we'll see you out on the streets of Frankfort, as you say.
Sounds good, buddy. I'll talk to you. Bye-bye.
Thanks very much. This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Remember that we will be here this time next week for our conversation with Crawfordsville Mayor Todd Barton. In the interim, you can go to our website, WBAA.org, find all of the archived versions of this show. Send a question at any time for any of our four mayors to our email address. That's ask@WBAA.org. And you can tweet us at WBAA News on Twitter. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.